P-47. Stevenson Farm, Eastview, Colorado. With Godfrey and Leisha in Birchwood, Clark readily followed the former's suggestion of encouraging the rest of the group to shelter in the basement while he held down the fort upstairs, in keeping a lookout for any potential intruders. The absence of Leisha would level the playing field in any confrontation, not that anyone thought one likely, but Clark felt sure that he could protect the group from anything short of a squad of invaders given his knowledge of the house's layout and his experience of stealth. Had Clark, Emma, or indeed anyone else in the group seriously considered that a second intrusion at Stevenson Farm was within the realm of likelihood just a night after the first escalated to murder, they wouldn't have for one second agreed that sending Leisha to guard an empty house against a predicted threat made any kind of sense. The heavily fortified basement itself was something of a safety net in Dan's mind, granting, as it did, meaningful protection in the one-in-a-million chance that any hostile visitors would return in the short time Leisha was out of the picture. The basement was known to be well-stocked, too, and Chip Petrovich had made sure that the access card Phil left with him, the one that would lead them into an inviting prepper stash whose existence within such easy reach had naturally slipped everyone else's mind amid all that was going on, had come along for this impromptu trip to Eastview. Only Emma proved hesitant to descend into the basement when the time came, with everyone quite easily understanding that her arguments about never splitting the party were in truth founded on her reluctance to be anywhere near the freezer, which, out of necessity, still contained Phil's corpse. "We have the card," Chip said. "You know, for Phil's secret stash. While we're here anyway, it makes sense for us to look. Clark, if you don't mind us going in without you—"
"Be my guests," Clark encouraged them.
He didn't shrug indifferently or anything of the sort, and was simply so keen to know what was really in there that he didn't even feel any need to be there in person for the moment of truth, so long as the question was answered.
"I know Phil set up that little game to unlock the card so that all three of us would have to work together, but he wouldn't really care if we were all there for it being opened. My old man won't care either. He's like me. He just wants to know what's inside, and obviously we both know you guys aren't going to lie about any of it."
"Oh, I don't know about that,"
Tara chided from the edge of the stairway down to the basement.
"It all depends what we find. Right, Piper?"
The baby chuckled in response to the funny face Tara made.
"I guess we probably should check that out to make the most of the time we're here,"
Emma acknowledged, driven more by a sense of duty than the excited anticipation that seemed to be consuming Chip and even Dan. She couldn't begrudge them for allowing themselves to get swept up in the moment when everything around them was so uncertain and generally negative, and in truth was self-aware enough to recognize that she too would likely have been enthusiastically eager to access Phil's stash if she didn't have such harrowing recent memories of the farmhouse in general and its freezer housing basement in particular.
"Right," Tara said. "And I'll tell you guys everything I heard from Sacco about the time gate while we're down there. Make triple use of this time, unless you want me to keep you company up here, and I'll tell everyone else all that stuff later."
She asked Clark, more than willing to stay at her boyfriend's side, but all but certain he wouldn't allow it in a million years.
"Not in a million years," he replied, proving her hunch right. "I think that basement is literally the safest place within 100 miles of here. I mean, Tara, it's Phil's bunker, you know? Phil. You're gonna find some serious stuff down there, I'm sure of it. This door is staying closed until you hear from me over the intercom, though, and I mean that. You can open it from down there, in the sense that you're physically able to open it, but you won't open it. If Piper needs anything, intercom me and I'll open it. But if that happens, before you stand at the stairs, make sure you actually hear my voice. None of this precautionary stuff is going to be necessary, but it's like when they tell you all the stuff to do if your plane starts falling out of the sky. You have to listen, just in case."
"Good," Tara teased. "Because I do kinda wanna be down there when we open the door. It's going to be like when we were at the Feathers Antique Place looking for the plaque a few years ago, except this time we don't know what we're going to find, and we don't have to rifle through piles of rusty metal and boxes full of rat stuff."
As always,
Emma nodded a quick acknowledgement for Tara remembering to moderate her language around Piper. The sisters were both chuckling, along with Dan and Clark, at the memory of the crazy day in Salida when a decoded prophecy had led them to the plaque, which ultimately led to Alessandro Benucci's just-in-time discovery of Comet Il Diavolo. Humanity's relationship with the messengers had come on leaps and bounds since those days, back when the aliens had tried to mask their minimally necessary interventions by utilizing existing speculation and leaning into it. You know, I feel like I've won some kind of lottery being here for this, Chip Petrovich mused with a smile of his own. When those Feather Brothers eventually came out and talked about what happened, I wished so hard I could have been there back then. I love all those antique hunting shows, and I'd even seen the episode of American Treasure when the Australian guys went out to Salida. I was like, hey, it's Salida.
That was how I worked it out, Tara beamed in proud memory. Anyone will tell you, it was me who had the Eureka moment, and I had it because I was watching American Treasure and it just clicked in my mind. Man, those were weird days, with the California fireball and all that stuff.
I'm sorry. Those were weird days, Emma retorted, laughing more now. Clark clapped his hands together to capture everyone's attention and then pointed them down the stairs. Lock the door behind you, and don't intercom me unless you actually need something. Feeling like you need to tell me what you found doesn't count as actually needing something, in case there was any room for doubt there. Emma, keep these excitable kids in line, will you?
Kaka no?
Piper asked, quickly catching on that Clark was the only person not passing through the narrow doorway to the large basement. I'm going to stay up here for a little while, darling, he replied, while Chip yet again looked on in utterly stunned amazement as the child exhibited her premature and indeed preternatural level of intelligence. As soon as everyone was down and Dan had pulled the door tightly closed before locking it, Clark walked to gather Phil's security camera console so he could keep an overall view on any tremendously unlikely arrivals, from whichever angle they might come.